verse 11. It says, as Jesus continued onward towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And we'll say that again. As they went, say, as they went. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." Verse 16, he fell to Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this moment. And God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to move in this place and have your way. God, I ask you right now, as we begin to look at your word together, I pray that your anointing would open our ears, open our eyes to hear, to receive, and to just hear your voice speak to us today. Lord, I want to go deeper. Let us have more than just a sermon. Let us have more than just some ideas. Let us have more than just some good feelings and some good vibes. Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter with you, the God of this word, the word that was made flesh, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us have that kind of moment with you today as we encounter your word together. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen." You know, I've been in church my whole life. Since the time, I literally can't remember time that I wasn't in church or wasn't a part of church. And one thing that's always fascinated me about church, even about, and it continues to this day, and it continues right here, even though I know just on the outset looking around, but this is just a reflection of our community. You might not think that we're the most diverse church in the world, but the reality is we don't live in a very diverse community. Amen, somebody? That's just what it is. And so, but if you looked past skin deep and looked past color, you would come to find out that there is an amazing bringing together power of Jesus. Amen. I mean, there's a group of people collected in this room and watching with us online or in your living rooms right now, and we're together, and we probably would never know each other. Many of us might not ever have any reason to have anything in common or be friends. We're completely different. We come from different backgrounds, different ideologies, different jobs, different economics, places in life. And the one thing that brings us together, and the one reason, and not only brings us together, but brings us to a point where hopefully through the power of Jesus and the redeeming quality of the gospel, we call ourselves family. And that is because of the power of Jesus. Amen. The power of Jesus to bring different people, different folks together. And I know the church, sometimes the church gets a bad rap. Some of it's earned, but some of it's really unfair. I really just can't tell you how tired I am of hearing about how divisive and exclusive the church is. The reality is the gospel and the church from day one has been one of the most inclusive and including organizations ever that has existed on the planet. Amen. And the only people that really point fingers and say, "Well, the church is this and the church is that," are one of two people. Either A, you really don't know Jesus and have never really been involved in church in your life, and you're just making blanket statements off of something you heard on the news or whatever, or you were in a church that really wasn't probably gospel driven and was really more about religion more than it was about Jesus. Amen, somebody? Because the church that I see is a diverse church. Is a church with open arms, is a church that welcomes everyone, is a church that loves everybody. Come on, somebody. And the church is, and if you look back at church history, listen, we say, well, the church oppresses minorities and the church has oppressed women in the church. Listen, the church, if you look through history and Bible, even all the way back to the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the Jewish faith, Jehovah God, and then into the church were actually commonly on the forefront of fighting for the rights of the oppressed and fighting for the rights of the forgotten and fighting for the rights of minorities and fighting for the rights of people. The church has always been one of the most, and the gospel of Jesus is one of the most unifying, bringing together forces in the world. Amen? And I share that to say because Because we see that happening here. In fact, probably on the same level that Jesus and the power of the gospel and the church has the ability to bring people together, probably another force in the world that also has the ability to bring people together is the power of suffering. Amen? Like when people are suffering, man, that also has a tendency to bring people together like not never before. I mean, we just celebrated 9/11 yesterday, and I still will never forget where I was 20 years ago when, I can vividly remember watching those moments unfold live on television. And you guys, many of you, or some of you don't remember this, but many of you, we'll remember the unifying power that took place for the next several months and maybe even several years after that moment. Why? Because when we suffer together, we come together. Amen. When you see really dirt poor communities, a lot of times there might be some underlying, a lot of times like poverty will transcend racial boundaries, amen? Because we're all hurt, we're all broke, we're all poor, and we're all trying to make it together. You know what I'm saying? Suffering also has this weird ability to bring people together. And I shared all that to say, because in this story, you have both of those forces working together, bringing together this group of people. Jesus is walking, he's actually taking a very long journey. And in fact, a big chunk of the Gospel of Luke and Luke's account of Jesus' life, Luke deals with this several weeks journey that Jesus takes as he kind of has his tour around Galilee, around Israel, and he's slowly making his way to Jerusalem, ultimately to pay the ultimate price for our sins and make himself the Lamb of God's sacrifice for the sins of the world. And this is part of that kind of final leg of Jesus' journey, although it is early on in that final leg. And the Bible says he's making his way towards Jerusalem. And the Bible says here in Luke 17, and Luke makes a point of saying that he's traveling between the borders of Galilee and Samaria. So he's traveling in a place that is naturally diverse, where cultures and different types of people from different backgrounds are already coming together. And he says he's going through these towns and villages on the border of Galilee and Samaria. He says he encounters this group of 10 lepers. Some of them were Samaritans, some of them were Jews. And I don't want to go into too much of the history and bore you with it, but just know that God, Jewish people and Samaritans, you heard me talk about this before, it's a huge theme in Scripture. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. Jews hated Samaritans. I don't think Samaritans hated Jews so much, except for the fact that the Jewish people dogged Samaritans and considered them lower class citizens, people who didn't know God, who didn't know how to worship the right way and all that stuff. But here's the deal. You have these lepers, and here's the thing. In this culture, lepers were forced to live outside of their family. Lepers were usually forced to live outside of the community, and so the lepers formed their own community. Why? Because when we all got leprosy, it all of a sudden doesn't matter who's Jewish and who's Samaritan anymore. We are all suffering the same. Okay? So you have this group of sufferers who are suffering with this condition of leprosy. And they're all grouped up, huddled together, probably somewhere on the fringe outside of town. And they see Jesus coming by, and they all of a sudden begin to cry out all together. And this is what I absolutely love about this, is because they all begin to cry out to Jesus, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, heal us. Jesus, deliver us. And this is what I think is really cool, is that they were united in their suffering, but they were also united in their solution. And I got news for us. Guess what? Of all the things that divide us and cause us to fight and cause us to be at each other's throats and cause us to talk about each other and point fingers at each other, guess what? And of all the things that could be bad and of all the suffering we could think about that we need to deal with, guess what? There is a solution that we can find that will unite every single one of us. His name is Jesus. It is the truth that Jesus Christ died once for the sins of all mankind, and only in Jesus can we find any hope of healing or restoration or redemption for what ails us today. Amen, somebody. So we can be united in suffering, but we can also be united in the solution. Amen. And so they begin to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus says, let's talk about what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't go over to them, get out a bottle of oil, anoint all their heads with oil, pray over them, have them all fall on the floor, tell them to get up and pray over them again or any of that. Jesus doesn't make mud in the street and wipe it on their skin and say, you're healed. He doesn't make a big show about it. This is what Jesus does. Jesus says simply, go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. That's all he says. Doesn't even give them an if. Doesn't say, like, if you do this, this is what will happen. He just says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. Kind of just hollers it seems like, as he's kind of walking by. You got this group of lepers. Jesus, heal us. All right, man, I got, go show yourself to the priest. And he goes on about his business. And the Bible says that as they went, they began to look down and realize that they were being healed. As they went. Everybody say, as they went. And this is what I found is the most common way, because what we're going to look at, the reason I call this Million Little Miracles, is that I'm going to do my best. I really want to focus on the everyday. We're not going to look at Lazarus being raised from the dead. We know, but that's a big miracle. I want us to zero in and focus on the idea and understand that Jesus is doing a million little miracles in our day and in our life and in your walk with him every single moment of your day as we go. The most common way, in fact, that Jesus does miracles and moves in my life happens to be usually as I go. Everybody say, as I go. And you need to understand there's this caveat to the as I go. As I go and obediently and faithfully follow the command and what Jesus has put in my life to do, it's as I go that I watch his miracle unfold in my life. Amen, somebody? And you need to understand what a big deal this was. You had a mixed group of Jews and Samaritans who shouldn't have been together. They were lepers, which means they shouldn't be around anybody else. And certainly this mixed group of Jewish people and Samaritans who were suffering from leprosy, certainly they actually had no business legally or spiritually to go to the priest, be in the temple, and show themselves to the priest. But they had a word from the healer that said, go ahead and do it anyway. They had a word from the healer. They had a word from the master that said, go ahead and break tradition. Go ahead and break the quote unquote rules and do what I'm telling you to do. And listen to me. The as I go part will sometimes force me to have to break the rules, will sometimes force me to have to go against the grain, will sometimes force me to have to do what is very uncomfortable and unnatural for me to do. But I'm telling you, listen, it's as I go that Jesus' miracle will unfold in my life. Amen, somebody? I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for something. Let me say it this way. Very rarely when I pray for something does God just immediately open up the heavens and pour it out. Amen? Very rarely will I pray, God, I need you to provide this week, Lord, we're short. Lord, I need your provision. And very rarely will I open the door, go in the mailbox, and find the answer to my prayer right there. But what will happen is as I go, and as the decision comes up, are you going to put God first and tithe, or are you going to pay all the other bills and then see what's left over for God at the end? And I make that decision, and as I go, I'm faithful to what I know God has told me to do in my life. As I go, I don't know how it happens, I don't know how it works, but as I go, all of a sudden, God's miracle unfolds, and everything's taken care of. Amen, somebody? I can't tell you how many times I pray, Lord, I have a sickness in my body. Lord, I'm not feeling good. Lord, I'm gonna sit out this week. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But I pray, God, heal me. Very rarely does something. Now, thank God. Now, listen, I'm not saying that never happens. Man, I've experienced God's miraculous power in my life at time or two as well. Thank God for those moments. I'm just trying to say that it's often, I don't want you to think that just because you don't feel something or see something the moment that you pray that God's not working. I'm trying to tell you that the miracle often happens as you go. As they went. Oh my goodness, we're clean. This leprosy is moving off my life. It's as we go. Amen? Turn to your say, as they went. It's as they went, okay? But Jesus, here's what I need to understand. Listen. Jesus tells them to defy logic, defy the rules, break tradition, go where you're not supposed to go, but go ahead and go anyway because I'm telling you to. And this is what we need to understand. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. If I believe Jesus enough to pray, I need to believe Jesus enough to obey. I think a lot of times we sometimes get that backwards. It's like, okay, I'm going to pray because I don't have any other answers and I don't know what else to do and I don't know how to fix that. I'm going to go ahead and pray. But then when Jesus says, okay, well, go ahead and do this, go ahead and do that, and it makes me uncomfortable to something I don't want to do or it causes me to kill a part of my flesh that I'm really enjoying, but Jesus is saying, no, I want you to take care of that. I want you to surrender that. I want you to submit that to the power of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden now I say, well, I don't really have to do that. Nah, it's not going to matter. If I believe him enough to pray, I ought to believe him enough to obey. Amen, somebody? So if I believe Jesus enough to pray, hey, Jesus, heal me, I ought to believe him enough when he says, go show yourself to the priest. Come on, somebody. If I believe Jesus enough, to pray for my lost family members who don't know Jesus and are far from God, if I believe Jesus enough to pray for them, I ought to believe Jesus enough to obey whenever an opportunity comes for me to invite them to the house of God, or whenever an opportunity comes for me to share something of my journey or share a piece of faith or share the gospel. Come on, somebody. If I believe him enough to pray, I need to believe him enough to obey. And if I am waiting, watch this now, if I am waiting to see the evidence of the miracle before I ever walk and go, I'm going to die waiting. You hear what I'm saying? If I'm, and this is what many of us are, I might be in this boat too. Go show yourself to the priest. Yeah, I'll go as soon as you do this thing I ask you to do. Jesus is like, no, it's not working like that. Go, and as you go, it's going to take care of it. Yeah, I heard you. I'm willing to go, but I need you to take care of this leprosy first. I'm not allowed to go. That's not, if I had that mindset and that attitude, I will never see God's miracle work out of my life. If I'm waiting to obey, if I'm waiting to go, if I'm waiting to see something before I'll obey and go, I'm going to die waiting. I'm never going to see God's miracles in my life. Amen, somebody? And then this wild thing happens. The Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. And one out of the 10 comes back to Jesus, falls on his face, and begins to worship him. And this is where our story takes a pretty interesting turn, and where I think we need to pull a lot of information and where we can pull a lot of principles out that we need to have operating in our life. Because it seems right here, because this guy, the one guy happens to be a Samaritan. We're going to talk about that in a second. Comes back to Jesus. Jesus says, weren't there 10? Only one came back, and you're a Samaritan? And then Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Why do you think Jesus said, your faith has healed you at that moment when he was already healed of his leprosy? I think the only thing I can take away from that is this, that Jesus has a definition of healing that I may not have. You follow me so far? Here's what you need to understand. The leprosy was really just a symptom of the sickness and the disease that existed inside of them. Amen? And when Jesus says you're healed, he was saying, listen, you're healed all the way to the bone, all the way to the most amazing miracle that needs to happen, which is your sins are forgiven. And listen, here's what I think we do sometimes. I know I'm probably guilty of this, okay? So this is not me pointing the finger at you. This is me talking about what I know I do. I think a lot of times when we pray, what I'm really asking for is, Jesus, I need you to fix a symptom. I don't feel good. I got this thing going on. I don't have enough money. I got this relationship that's tore apart. I'm fighting with my spouse. We can't get along. Me and my kids are going crazy, and we want Jesus to fix the symptom. That's what they're saying. Jesus, we got leprosy. Come heal our skin. Come fix our symptom. And when the symptom gets touched, because Jesus does care, God does care. Make no mistake, God will take care of our stuff. Thank God for it. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is don't stop short. Don't stop at the symptom. Push all the way through to Jesus to be totally healed. Jesus can heal the symptom, but he really wants to heal the heart. Jesus can heal the symptom, but he really wants to fix what's really going on. Okay? Listen, and what we want to do is we want Jesus to fix the symptom, but a lot of times I don't want him to actually deal with my inner stuff and deal with the stuff that's actually causing the thing to begin with. Okay? So Jesus, I want you to provide for my finances, but let's not talk about my lack of discipline and stewardship with the finances you've already given me. Ooh, it got quiet. Jesus, I want you to fix my wife. Don't say amen. Jesus, I want you to fix my husband. But Jesus, don't talk about the stuff that I'm doing that's creating the strife in the atmosphere in my home and in my relationship and in my marriage that is creating this symptom of strife and arguing and fighting all the time. I just want him or her to shut up. Amen, somebody? I think a lot of our prayers sometimes we miss out because we're looking at the surface symptoms and we don't want to let Jesus and the Holy Spirit do the deep work of actually healing our heart. And we can see the numbers here. 1 out of 10 come back. Amen? Come back and find complete things. And here's what happens. He comes back and he falls on his face and begins to worship Jesus, declaring that he must be the Messiah. He must be the Son of God. And it was in this moment of worship where Jesus released actual healing, and the real healing took place in this man's heart. And this is what I think that we need to pull out from that and where we need to understand that. Listen to me close. It's worship that can bridge the gap between temporary symptom relief and being made whole. Okay, it's a heart of worship. It is a heart that will seek Jesus and fall on our face and worship God that will bridge that gap between whether or not I just am looking for Jesus to fix my symptoms and touch my little stuff here, or whether or not the actual root of the problem and the whole and my heart and my life is made whole. It's worship that seems to bridge that gap. And I want you to understand, listen. What we want to do is we want to find the sweet spot. And it was this Samaritan that found the sweet spot. And I got to wonder this, and this is what I mean. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're in a place, and I'm a preacher and I'm a follower of Jesus that believes that we ought to believe God for big things. Amen, somebody? And we ought to believe God for what this word says has been declared ours through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right, you going to make me preach a whole other sermon on this? Amen, somebody? Listen, we are not to be some weak-kneed, mealy-mouthed, wishy-washy, like, I don't know, God, if it's your will. That is weak sauce. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that I come boldly before the throne of grace. Come on, somebody. I don't have to ask God, if you would like me to be in your presence today, would you please show? No, the Bible says I come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that my Father will answer my prayer. Come on, somebody. Heavenly Father, if it be thou will to heal us today, willest thou? No, Jesus has already said it is my will to heal you. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I can boldly stand upon the promises of God and declare that by your stripes we have been healed. Amen, somebody? Come on. I believe we ought to believe big, we ought to believe bold, and we ought to boldly grab on to every truth and every promise and every word that comes from the throne of God, that comes from the Word of God. But there is a sweet spot between bold belief and arrogant entitlement that we must find and dwell in. Amen? Because it is a thin line sometimes between boldly believing God and arrogantly, like a petulant child, feeling entitled to something because you think you've earned it or worked for it or been good enough for it or for whatever other imaginations we might have in our head that makes us think that we are anything at all. There is a sweet spot there. This Samaritan finds the sweet spot in worship. And I got to wonder, like, because we know this is a mixed group of Samaritans and Jews. And what I imagine is that there could have been a little bit of that arrogant entitlement in these Jewish brothers. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't shocked at all. Of course we're healed. I mean, we're the chosen. We're the sons of Abraham. We follow all the rules. We go to temple all the times we're supposed to. We make all the sacrifices. We do everything that we're supposed to do. Of course, Jesus has healed us. So when they begin to go and realize they're cleansed, there's this entitlement that's there that's like, well, of course this is happening. It's supposed to happen to us. I mean, we're the chosen ones. Where the Samaritan, who doesn't grow up with that type of entitlement, when he begins to see that, man, Jesus is actually cleansing his life, man, it caused him to go back and fall on his face and worship Jesus. What happens? I believe he found the sweet spot. And this is what I want to get to here. Is listen, a thankful heart keeps you and me in the sweet spot between bold belief and arrogant entitlement. Amen? See, as soon as I begin to think that I've earned something or God owes me something, I'm slipping into entitlement. Amen? Now, we don't want to slip all the way. Don't go all the way where it's like, oh, I'm just such a terrible person. I'm just such a wretched sinner. I'm just... No, come on. Toughen up, buttercup. Okay? Because you were all those things, but now Jesus has made you his son, his daughter, and calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? And listen, it's worship that keeps me right in the sweet spot. It's a heart of worship. It's a thankful spirit. It's a thankful heart that realizes that as I go, when I realize that God is doing something in my mouth, in my life, it's worship. It's a heart of worship and a thankful heart that stays in that sweet spot and stops what he's doing and says, oh, God, thank you. God, I recognize you're moving in my life. God, I recognize you doing something in my life right now in this moment. Now, I want to look to John 21. And this is kind of the basis of what our thoughts are going to be for the next few weeks. John chapter 21. This is the last verse of the Gospel of John. It says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Anybody ever read that before and just had your mind blown? I mean, just the three and the four Gospels that we have, the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are all very similar, and then John, which is very different. Just with those four accounts of Jesus' life and teachings, we have for 2,000 some odd years not gotten tired of talking about it. And John here says, hey, you don't even know what all he did. Like, the what we've been able to write down and give to you, we can't. He says there are not enough pens and ink and paper to make trees, or trees to make paper. Sorry. My bad. There are not enough trees to make the paper to write down everything that Jesus did. He said, this is just a beginning. This is just a beginning of all the things we saw Jesus do. And I share that with you because I want us to understand that the same Jesus that did so many things while he walked this earth in a physical body that the world could not even contain the books that could be written about it, listen, he is still doing those things today in our lives. He is still cleansing leprosy. He is still healing hearts. He is still raising the dead. He is still healing disease. He is still speaking to lives. He is still teaching us. He is still doing all of those things. And listen, even though what we see in the Gospels and what we often talk about in sermons, what we often talk about in our lives is like the highlights. You know, it's the big stuff. But I want you to know there is a million little things that Jesus is doing all the time, 24/7 in your life. And I want to be aware of it. I want to know it. And what I need to do when I recognize that Jesus is doing something, I need to stop and give Jesus a moment of worship to keep me in the sweet spot so that I don't get so used to the move of God that I think I'm entitled to it. Come on, somebody. It's worship that keeps me in that sweet spot. I want to stay in that sweet spot. Amen? As a church, we want to stay in that sweet spot. We can never get entitled about a move of the Spirit or a word from God or the presence of God being poured out as we worship and as we meet together. Listen, it is a beautiful thing. It is a holy thing. It is a miraculous thing. Amen, somebody? But he's moving all the time. I came across this story. How many of you ever heard of Matthew Henry and Matthew Henry's Bible commentary? Anybody ever heard of that? Raise your hand if you heard of the Matthew Henry Bible commentary. One of the most famous, one of the oldest, most famous Bible commentators ever to live back in like the 1800s or something. And he had this story that was actually found in his diary of one day he was robbed, okay? And the day that he was robbed, he wrote in his diary that he was thankful and things that he was thankful for and the miracles that he discovered in the robbery. Most of us are thinking, the miracle was supposed to be that you didn't get robbed whatsoever, right? Like if Jesus was there doing a miracle, why am I getting robbed? This doesn't compute right here, right? This is what Matthew Henry wrote down in his diary. Matthew Henry, the famous Bible commentator, first wrote the miracle, and he was thankful that he did not get killed in the robbery. He could have easily lost his life. Was thankful for the miracle that he endured a robbery and didn't get killed. Then he was thankful. He said, I was thankful that even though I was robbed of everything that I had, that I didn't have that much to lose anyway. So it really wasn't that great of a loss. You know what I'm saying? He said he was thankful for that miracle. He said he was thankful for the miracle that this was the first time he had ever been robbed and never been robbed before in his life. So he was thankful that Jesus had been with them through that. And then lastly, he was thankful for the idea that he was able to survive a robbery, that he didn't live a life where he had to survive by doing robbery. Amen. Million little miracles Jesus is doing. Stuff all around us all the time. Amen? Even in a moment where it looks like there was no miracle, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, what I'm trying to tell you, when it looks like there was no miracle, Jesus was still there, and he was doing miracles the whole time. We need to recognize it. We need to give thanks for it. We need to worship for it, and we need to find the sweet spot that keeps us in that mode where we're recognizing and seeing Jesus moving all around us. Amen? Here's what we got to do. We got to see the miracle. We got to stop, and we got to say thanks. Okay, that's our prayer. I know that's not very witty, but that's what we need to see, stop, and say. Say it with me. See, stop, say. What are we going to do? We're going to see the miracle. We need to recognize that Jesus is moving. And as I go, I see that I'm being cleansed. As I go, I see that God's doing something. I need to see it. I need to stop what I'm doing, even if it's just for a moment, and say thanks. Thank you, Lord, for moving my life. Thank you, Lord, for opening the door. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me from that. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. I know I just got in a fight with my spouse, but man, thank you, Lord, that it didn't get out of hand like it used to get. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Lord, that it could have been so much worse. Come on, somebody. Amen. Lord, I know my kids are going crazy. They're driving me nuts, and they're about to drive. But Lord, thank you that I have kids at all. Amen, somebody. Thank you that I have kids at all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the miracle that you've entrusted me with your children to raise and to. Amen, somebody? Thank you, Lord, that I have a job to wake up to and go to at all. That's a miracle. Amen. I know it seems common. What I'm trying to say is, listen, just because it's common doesn't mean it's not miraculous. Amen. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's not miraculous. See, stop, say. As we unfold this series, we continue to dive in and look at the miracles of Jesus over the next few weeks. I want that to be our heart's prayer. I want to challenge every single one of us. I know this is a little bit different way to end than we normally do. But I want to challenge us to go out from this place with a heart that says, you know what, this week I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to keep my eyes open. Help me to see where he's working. Help me to see the million little miracles that he's doing in my life. Amen, somebody? If you have trouble finding one, just everybody inhale, exhale. There you go. There you go. Hey, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that. I mean, you did because I told you to, but like you didn't have to have the ability to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's a miracle. God's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Amen. Stand all over this place this morning. Hey, if you're in this house, if you're watching and been with us online this morning, or maybe you're watching some of the time through the week when you've been able to carve out the time to intentionally have this moment, your walk with God, man, we thank you for being with us. So whether you're in this building or not, if you're with us in whatever capacity you are, you don't know Jesus today? If there's any question at all about whether or not you will spend eternity in heaven, if there's any question at all about what will happen, if there's any question at all about if I told you to breathe in and out and you couldn't do it, what that would mean for your eternal soul, if that is not a sure thing for your life, man, I want you to know you don't have to let that be unsure, not for another moment. Today, right now, in the next few moments, you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's just church fancy talk. I know, I got to stop saying it. I really hate when I do that. What does that mean? It means that you just accept what Jesus did on the cross. You receive for your life what we have talked about for the last few moments of what Jesus has accomplished for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, I'm not a very good person. Most of us, really none of us are. It's only by the grace of God that any of us have anything of any worth or value to offer anyway. Amen, somebody? Well, I'm a sinner. Yeah, we're all that too. Yeah, but I like sinned yesterday. A lot of us probably in this room probably did as well. Yeah, but I got a bunch of issues. A lot of us either have issues right now or we have conquered those issues again only through the grace and the presence of Jesus Christ working in our life. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, there's no excuses. You can look around this room and you might think that, man, that person's really got it together. I mean, my God, I saw that person raising their hands and there were tears streaming down their face in worship. They really must love Jesus. They really must have their act together. And they very well might, or they very well may be saying, man, I don't have my act together at all and I need Jesus just to make it another week. I want you to know we're all in that place. Amen, somebody? So don't you dare think that you're not good enough or together enough or have it figured out enough. Listen, you don't. Let me just help you. You don't. I don't either. We're all working this journey out together. We're all pursuing Jesus. And man, you can make a step in the right direction by saying yes to the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and begin that journey today. In fact, why don't you just bow your heads with me? If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. It's just a way to kind of block out distractions as well as we can. Just to give us a moment to let this moment become personal for us. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to put a microphone in your hand to tell you to tell us all your secret sins or any kind of nonsense like that, man. In just a moment, I am going to, however, ask you to raise your hand. And if you're in this place this morning, you say, man, I want to make a step toward Jesus today, then I want you to raise your hand. This moment is for you. If you're online, you say, man, I need to take a step toward Jesus today from my living room or my kitchen table or my car or wherever I'm at. You can put a raised hand emoji in the comment section. There's instructions right now going out to show you exactly what we're going to do and how to take that next step. But we're going to pray together. Right now, we're going to give you the opportunity to say yes right now. If that's where you say, man, I need to get my life right with Jesus. Maybe you used to serve God. Maybe you used to follow Jesus, but man, you've taken a step away, you've taken a step back. And if you're honest, man, you're just not serving God at all right now. You can also in this moment come back to him. And Jesus is waiting with open arms to welcome you, either for the 100th time or the first time. He lived a life that none of us could live, completely sin-free in perfection, and then died the death that every sinner deserves to die. And he did that in our place for one reason and one reason only, because he loves you and me. You can receive receive that this morning. If that's where you are, say, man, I need to say yes to that today. We just right now, I'm not going to count to 3 or 10 or anything else. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand all over this room. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray everyone out loud in this room. I want you to pray with me so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you today just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Help me to follow you from this day forward, every day of my life. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I give you my future. Thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, and welcoming me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, just make this moment real. Make that prayer real in this building, outside this building. Make this prayer, this moment, Lord, do what your word said you would do, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you said in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. And I pray, God, right now that we would just have an unbelievable awareness of the forgiveness, of the love, and of everything else that you have for us and that you demonstrated for us in your cross. In Jesus' name. If you would, everyone, just stretch your hands this way. I want to pray this over us today. Even if you're at home, stretch your hands towards whatever device you're watching this on. This man, I'm going to pray that God open our eyes, help us to see, to stop, and to say thanks. And then we're going to pray this blessing on us. Amen. Lord, I pray right now that you keep us in the sweet spot. Keep us in the sweet spot. Lord, will we recognize and are able to see you moving in our lives when you do. And I thank you for all the million moments, all the million miracles, all the little things, God, that you do on a daily basis where you are moving and are active in our lives, Lord God, whether we see it or we don't see it, whether we recognize it or don't. But Lord, I pray that you would begin to open up our eyes spiritually, open up our eyes to see it. And God, when we see the miracle, Lord, I pray that you would give us the wherewithal and give us the intentionality, give us the purpose and the heart, a thankful heart that stops what we're doing, even for just a moment, Lord, and give us a heart that says thanks. Lord, I pray and do so you keep us in a sweet spot where we see you moving as we go, as we obey, as we do everything you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, man, we're here. We're willing to pray. These altars are open. Let's worship for just a moment before we go.